Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to this very first Prophecy News Podcast of 2021. I am Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today we have news to talk about. For months now, we've been telling you that 2020 would pale in comparison to what would be taking place in 2021, and we didn't even get 72 hours into the new year before chart-topping events began taking place. We told you that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is going to introduce rules to make Congress gender neutral. Yesterday, Democrat Emanuel Cleaver officially opened the first session of the 117th Congress with a prayer to the Hindu god Brahma, placing America and Congress under a curse. And the fun and games don't stop there. No, not by a long shot. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we're going to be showing you the incredible end times things that have already taken place in just the first 3 days of 2021. And then we're going to look forward to what is likely coming in the weeks and the months ahead. Will the Trump legal team be successful on January 6th with the confirming of the Electoral College votes? We have that leaked audio of Trump's phone call with the governor of Georgia. Will the COVID-19 vaccine be made mandatory? We have an audio of Robert Kennedy Jr. with an urgent message that you need to listen to, and we will play it for you today. Have you heard about Bill A-416 in the New York State Senate to establish detention facilities for people with communicable diseases? Sounds like FEMA camps to me, and guess what? That's exactly what they are. Oh yeah, man, 2021 is going to blow your mind, and Lord willing, we will be bringing it all to you as things develop and unfold. We are on the front lines of the end times. Now let's get to work. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered here. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in our lives. And we commit this time to you, Lord, and we pray for strength and comfort and courage as we go forward in this new year with the expectation that you will come and get us as you promised to do. Titus 2:13 says that we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. And Lord, springtime of 2021 would be good enough for us. And we commit this time to you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material computations. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. And he said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Ronald Reagan said that you and I were either going to preserve this great experiment called America, or that we were going to drop the ball and we were going to condemn our children to 1,000 years of darkness. And that's exactly the America we see before us right now in 2021. This year, we have the official launching yesterday of the 117th United States Congress. And yesterday, a Democrat congressman by the name of Emanuel Cleaver, he stood up in front of Congress yesterday. And, you know, they always have a opening prayer. They have an invocation. And yesterday, Emanuel Cleaver stood up in front of Congress, praying over Congress, and said this.
May the God who created the world and everything in it bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families, peace across this land, and dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
And that's exactly what he stood up yesterday in Congress and what he said. I'm going to play that clip for you one more time just so you can hear it.
The representatives elect and their guests will please remain standing and join in the pledge.
May the God who created the world and everything in it bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families, peace across this land, and dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
So there it is. I just had to play that twice for you, just so that there would be no doubt in your mind what you were hearing. The Hindu god Brahma, the pagan god Brahma, is a four-faced Hindu deity, which looks exactly like a demon, and it looks in all directions, and it watches out and sees everything. So don't be fooled by him throwing in that quote from Numbers chapter 6 and having sprinkling references to the God of the Bible. He told you who he was dedicating that prayer to, and he was invoking the spirit of the Hindu god Brahma to preside and reside over the United States Congress. Now, I don't know about you, but if you want to have God curse America, remember, Ronald Reagan said we were either going to preserve freedom in this country or we were going to sentence our children to 1,000 years of darkness. How does that start? Well, 1,000 years of darkness starts when you embrace pagan deities. Last night on our Bible study program, we told you Revelation chapter 9. And what do we read when we get to Revelation chapter 9? We see what the one world religion is going to look like in the end times. Revelation 9, and it's just coincidentally verses 20 and 21, Revelation 9, 20 and 21, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21 is showing you what the one world religion under Antichrist is going to look like. Idol worship is going to be in full view. It's going to be everywhere you look. It's going to be in the churches and the mosques and the temples. It's going to be in the governments. It's going to be in the one world governmental system. And under Antichrist, you can worship anything except for the God of the Bible. It doesn't matter what you worship, as long as you do not lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Now, that is what was prayed over the 117th Congress, the first session, which was held yesterday afternoon. Now, not only did they conveniently violate their own quarantine rules, when they want to do something, then they put those rules off to the side, and you don't have to worry about that, because that's what happens in fascist and communist societies. The leaders at the top do whatever they want to do, and the people down at the bottom have to follow these ridiculous rules and laws and these different things that they put in place, not for any other reason, but for controlling the people and subjugating the population. Why do you think they're making you wear a mask everywhere that you go? Cloth masks do not stop viruses from being communicated. They are not effective. They do not stop the transmission of viral and bacterial diseases. And yet, what they want you to do is they want you to wear these masks everywhere that you go. And they want you to wear these masks because it controls you. That's what they do in Islam. That's what they do with the prisoners in Guantanamo Bay. This is how they control you. Do you remember when this whole ridiculous thing started back in March, April, and May of 2020? This is what Anthony Fauci had to say about mask wearing.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
So that's Anthony Fauci telling you, and you can kind of hear in his voice, he's laughing a little bit, that masks, in his estimation, back when this whole thing started. Now, he's supposed to be an infectious disease expert for the last 40 years. So you would think that after 4 decades of doing the job that he does, you would think that he would know exactly when a mask should and should not be used. And not only that, what type of mask should and should not be used. This isn't something that started with COVID. He's been doing this for over 40 years. And yet when COVID started and we were 4 months into the crisis, when he made those comments that under no circumstances should people be made to wear a mask. Now, one thing that you may or may not know is back in 2010, Bill Gates tapped Anthony Fauci to sit on his Global Vaccine Action Plan board in a leadership role. So for the last decade, Anthony Fauci has been working behind the scenes and he's been conspiring with Bill Gates and their plan. Bill Gates' great, great dream is to vaccinate every single human on the face of the earth. Now, does every single human on the face of the earth need a vaccination? No, they don't. So that's a problem. If everybody doesn't need a vaccination, well, then how do you vaccinate everybody? Well, you have to create a global crisis. And that's exactly what COVID-19 is. It is a man-made, created global crisis. Now, the virus is not fake. The virus can kill you. I don't know if the virus is from nature or if the virus is from a laboratory, but it really doesn't matter, because if you catch it and you have other health situations and other health markers, you could get seriously ill. I personally know people who have died over the last 11 months of this COVID situation. So we have always said here on Now the End Begins that COVID-19 is a real virus, and you have to take precautions, and you have to use common sense, and you have to do all sorts of those type of things. But everything else around COVID-19 is fake, and it's phony. Back in 2001, in December, Anthony Fauci was photographed with Bill Gates Sr., George Soros, and David Rockefeller. And they were all giving themselves an award and telling each other what great human beings that they all are. And so Anthony Fauci has been part of, whether you call it the deep state, the New World Order, the global elites, the Illuminati, the Bilderberger Society, it's all the same thing. And Anthony Fauci has been a card-carrying member of that crowd for, well, at least the past 20 years, but probably longer than that. And he is a tool of the New World Order. And everything that he says and he does is to get you in line with the Great Reset that the World Economic Forum has been telling us about. So all these things are coming to a head in 2021. We told you on January 2nd, this amazing bill that is before the New York State Assembly in New York, and they are getting ready to vote on Bill A416. And Bill A416 is a bill that gives the state of New York the ability, the power, and the discretion to take people who are, quote, disease carriers or, quote, have communicable diseases and are capable of being potentially dangerous to the public health. New York State Assembly Bill A416 authorizes for the removal and detention of cases, contacts, and carriers who are or may be a danger to the public health. I am reading this directly from Senate Bill A416. The governor or his or her delegee, including but not limited to the commissioner or the heads of local departments, may order the removal and or detention of such a person or of a group of such persons by issuing a single order, identifying such persons either by name or by a reasonably specific description of the individuals or group being detained. Such person or group of persons, now pay attention to this, such person or group of persons shall be detained in a medical facility or other appropriate facility or premises designated by the governor or his or her delegee and complying with subdivision 5 of this section. Now, what does that mean in plain English? What Bill A416 means in plain English is that if you find yourself in the state of New York and for whatever reason they declare you to be the type of person who is endangering the public health, they will have the power and the authority to arrest you, detain you, and to remove you to a facility of their choosing. Now, you need to go online to nowtheendbegins.com, and you need to check these things out and to see if what we're telling you is true. But I promise you, what I am telling you, I am reading to you direct quotes from Bill A-416. Here's another one. The removal or detention of a person or group issued pursuant to this subdivision or for review of the continued detention of a person or group, the governor or his or her delegee shall prove the particularized circumstances constituting the necessity for such detention by clear and convincing evidence. So this bill goes on to say that that they have the authority to detain you for 60 or 90 days or more. And in certain cases, the only way that you get out is through a court order. Now, can you imagine what it's going to be like living in an America where they have where they have law enforcement arresting people who are sick and removing them to a non-specified government-run facility, and there you are going to be held until a court order determines that you are no longer a threat to the general population. What does that sound like? Does that sound like Mad Max? Does that sound like The Matrix? Does that sound like George Orwell's 1984? Does that sound like any book by Tim LaHaye? Does that sound like a chick track to you? What it sounds like to me, it sounds like the book of Revelation. Sounds like the one world government. It sounds like the new world order. Brother Willie in the chat room just said they're going to call Christians sick mentally and lock them up. Now, that's absolutely right. That's what's coming. And this is what Adolf Hitler did. Adolf Hitler, the very first people that Hitler ever put into a concentration camp, was political prisoners. And then he put in people with Down syndrome and people who were mentally retarded and mentally handicapped. And then he put in people who were physically handicapped. And down and down and down the list it went. And then he got to the Jews, who he hated more than anything else. And within just a few years, he implemented his final solution. And for 7 years, from 1938 all the way to 1945, in a type picture of the coming time of Jacob's trouble and the Great Tribulation, Adolf Hitler burned Jews and gassed them in concentration camps for 7 years. And he was able to kill 6 million Jews and 6 million Gentiles. 12 million people died in the concentration camps. And this is what's coming in America. This is what is right around the corner. Now, I want you to listen to this video clip from Robert Kennedy Jr. And he has some sort of an issue with his throat, and it's hard for him to speak. So when you listen to this clip from Bobby Kennedy Jr., there's not anything wrong with the audio. He has a hard time speaking. I forget the exact medical name of his condition, but it is hard for him to talk. It sounds like he's constantly losing air. But I want you to listen to what Robert Kennedy Jr. had to say about the current scheme to vaccinate the entire world. Now, this man's a Democrat. He's a liberal. He is the son of Robert Kennedy, who was assassinated in 1968 by Sirhan Sirhan. But Robert Kennedy Jr. has a very important message for you and I today, and it's going to sound like it's kind of from the Bible. Take a listen to Robert Kennedy Jr. warning you about the current global scheme to vaccinate the whole world with the COVID-19 vaccine. Take a listen.
My father told me when I was a child, people in authority lie. And we all, if we are going to continue to live in a democracy, We need to understand that people in authority lie. People in authority will abuse every power that we relinquish to them. And right now, we are giving them the power to micromanage every bit of our lives 24 hours a day. They're going to know where we are. They're going to know the money that we spend. They're going to have access to our children. They're going to have the right to compel unwanted medical interventions on us. We, you know, the Nazis did that in the camps in World War II. They tested vaccines on gypsies and Jews. And the world was so horrified after the war, we signed the Nuremberg Charter. And we all pledged when we do that, we would never again impose unwanted medical interventions on human beings without informed consent. And yet in 2 years, all of that conviction has suddenly disappeared. And people are walking around in masks where the science has not been explained to them. They are doing what they're told. They are these government agencies are orchestrating obedience. It is not democratic. It's not the product of democracy. It's the product of a pharmaceutical-driven biosecurity agenda that will enslave the entire human race and plunge us into a dystopian nightmare where the apocalyptical forces of ignorance and greed will be running our lives and ruining our children and destroying all the dreams and dignity that we hope to give to our children.
Now, you just heard the words of an unsaved Roman Catholic, hardcore liberal Democrat from Massachusetts. And yet, every single word that man just told you was the truth. Were you listening at the very end where he says that all of this leads to a dystopian nightmare with apocalyptic situations? That's exactly where all of this leads. And we are walking forward. We're not resisting. And we're allowing the government to tell us what to do when we know that what they're telling us is not true. They are saying that these vaccines are safe. They're saying that there's no problems with these vaccines, that they are safe and effective. And yet, in the very first week of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine being released in the UK, the CDC recorded 3,150 adverse reactions. An adverse reaction was defined, according to them, by being unable to perform normal daily activities, unable to work. You require care from a doctor or healthcare professional. That's a fairly adverse reaction. And they recorded 3,150 of these adverse reactions, including multiple people who died from heart attacks. One man contracted Bell's palsy. A bunch of people began to test positive for HIV. And the list is going on and on and on. And these vaccines are not safe. They are not effective. They have no data by which that shows that these vaccines control or stop the spread of COVID-19. In fact, in Israel, over the weekend, 240 people who received the COVID vaccine got COVID anyway, days later. So what they're telling you is not even close to true. They flip-flop. They tell you one day that masks are not necessary. Then they tell you that you can't even drive in your car by yourself without a mask. And all this has nothing to do with controlling a virus that has a 99% recovery rate. Let's check the stats for here in St. John's County in St. Augustine, Florida. And I like to check these stats and to see exactly how badly coronavirus is operating in my county. Total cases in St. John's County, 13,756. Total number of deaths, 115. That is less than 1% of everybody in my county, which is a very large county. My county of St. John's County, Florida, 99% recovery rate. Now, why do I need to wear a mask for something that has a 99% recovery rate? Why do I need a vaccine for something that has a 99% recovery rate? And why do I need a vaccine that is based on mRNA science that has never before been approved for use in human beings? And now here in the end of 2020 and 2021, they have taken these untested, unproven vaccines that have no track record, and people have no idea what they're going to do to your body long term. Have you seen these videos where people get the vaccine and an hour later they have a big smile on their face and say, "See, I took the vaccine and nothing happened"? They don't know anything about the long term effects of an mRNA vaccine. Not only that, they know less than nothing about the effects of the mRNA COVID vaccine in particular on a long-term basis. They have no idea what this is going to do to your body as time goes on. But this is where we are. This is what the scheme is. This is what the plan is. And in 2021, you are going to see mandatory vaccinations. And the way that they're going to do it is they're going to do it through your employer. They're going to do it through social media. They're going to do it through public shaming. Have you ever been in a supermarket over the last 10 months and you weren't wearing a mask and people gave you a dirty look because you didn't have one on, or the manager of the store walked up to you with a disposable mask and said, "Here, you have to put this on"? You're not going to need the government to enforce this, because it's going to be enforced on every other level. If you want to fly, Qantas Airlines is now saying you can't take an international flight on Qantas Airlines without having the COVID-19 vaccine. Just the other day, Andrew Cuomo in New York City, he tweeted something and he said, "When it's your time to take the vaccine, step up and take it." Now, these people are not playing around, and these people are not going to allow, and they're not going to tolerate your disobedience with refusing to take the vaccine. This is the greatest global deception in human history. And when this thing is done, and when this thing has run its course, you are going to have a unified global population under one leader, under one government. And this is how the whole thing is going to go, which is exactly how the Bible said that it would go. On New Year's Eve, Muslim mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, as part of their fireworks display, he included the Black Lives Matter Marxist fist. Have you ever seen that that fist that Black Lives Matter makes, and it's part of their logo? Have you ever wondered why it looks familiar? It looks familiar because it comes from communist Russia in 1917. And the three founders of Black Lives Matter, they have already stated that they are trained Marxists. And they don't hide it. They're proud of it. And in fact, they're so proud of it that their logo is the same logo from communist Russia from over 104 years ago. And this is the level that we're operating at. So when Sadiq Khan included that Marxist fist, the Black Lives Matter logo, when he did that, He's sending you a message. He's telling you what you can expect in 2021. Kamala Harris has already told you that the riots are not going to stop. Listen to the co-founder of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors. Listen to her proudly say that they're trained Marxists. Take a listen.
He was concerned, or is concerned, that that there's a lack of perhaps ideological direction in Black Lives Matter that would allow it to be to fizzle out, in, as he said, in comparison to Occupy Wall Street. As you are advanced in your own organization, as you all are headed to Cleveland to participate in this Black Lives Movement conference, how do you respond to that particular critique? Again, a loving critique from an elder of the struggle that some others share, that I've even shared as well, to be frank, as a concern about, in part because of the co-optation and the appropriation, that a more clear ideological structuring might be of some value here. But how do you respond to those kinds of, again, loving criticisms?
I think that the criticism is helpful. I also think that it might, I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories.
So while the fake news media for 4 years was trying desperately to attach Russia collusion to Donald Trump and his campaign and his administration, while the fanatical liberals talked about nothing but Russia, 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 24 hours a day for 4.5 years, here you have this group that they promote, Black Lives Matter, and their founders are openly bragging about the fact that their group is founded on Marxist principles. Did you know that Joseph Stalin, when he ran Russia, he killed 8 million more people in Russia than Adolf Hitler killed in the concentration camps? Hitler was able to kill about 12 million people, but Stalin, with his pogroms, he killed over 20 million people. That would make communist Russia the most bloodthirsty, murderous regime of all time, even worse than Adolf Hitler and the Nazis and the concentration camps. So how is it possible? How is it possible that we live in a world and in a society and in a country where they are openly promoting a group that says they were founded on Marxist principles, and yet if you don't get in line behind Black Lives Matter, then you're a racist? That's what they say. Do you see how upside down this whole thing is? Black Lives Matter movement is a terrorist organization, and they are working to bring in a Marxist regime in America. Kamala Harris, who's going to be the next president after Joe Biden, is removed. She said this back in June of 2020. Take a listen to the next vice president of the United States, Kamala Harris, talking about the Marxist Black Lives Matter riots.
Clear that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had.
That's right.
For the first few weeks.
But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And that's, they're not, this is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not, and we should not.
So that was Kamala Harris, the woman who's going to be the next vice president, and very shortly after that, she's going to be the next president of the United States. And everything is in place right here and right now to take the constitutional republic that America is founded on and turn it into a Marxist regime. Now, I am not speaking hyperbolically, metaphorically, poetically. I am telling you that their plan to turn America into a Marxist, not socialist, not communist, they're turning America into a Marxist dictatorship. That is exactly what the plan is. Now, will they get that far? Will they be able to realize their plan? Well, take a listen to this. Take a listen to this. Now, here is the audio. Everyone's been talking about the phone call that President Trump made to the governor of Georgia. And somehow, this phone call was leaked. Now, that would mean that the lines were not secure, or that would mean that there was a mole inside the White House, or that would mean that the state of Georgia is corrupt. So you take your pick. I have no idea how an audio of a private conversation of a United States president made it so quick and so fast to the mainstream media. It's absolutely a conspiracy to do that. But then listen to what the president says in this phone call.
We have won this election in Georgia based on all of this. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, Brad. You know, I mean, the people of Georgia are angry. And these numbers are going to be repeated on Monday night, along with others that we're going to have by that time, which are much more substantial even. And the people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
Now, do you think it's possible that they shredded ballots in Fulton County? Because that's what the rumor is. And also that Dominion took out machines. That Dominion is really moving fast to get rid of their machinery. Do you know anything about that? Because that's illegal.
This is Ryan, Germany. No, Dominion has not moved any machinery out of Fulton County. We're having.
Well, but have they moved? Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No.
You sure, Ryan?
I'm sure.
You should want to have an accurate election. And you're a Republican.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, I know you don't. No, you don't. You don't have. Not even close. You're off by hundreds of thousands of votes. You know what they did, and you're not reporting it. That's a criminal offense, and you know you can't let that happen. That's a big risk to you and to Ryan, your lawyer. That's a big risk. But they are shredding ballots, in my opinion, based on what I've heard, and they are removing machinery, and they're moving it as fast as they can. Both of which are criminal fines, and you can't let it happen, and you are letting it happen. You know, I mean, I'm notifying you that you're letting it happen. So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state. So tell me, Brad, what are we going to do? We won the election, and it's not fair to take it away from us like this. And it's going to be very costly in many ways. And I think you have to say that you're going to reexamine it, and you can reexamine it, but reexamine it with people that want to find answers, not people that don't want to find answers. For instance, I'm hearing Ryan, and he's probably... I'm sure a great lawyer and everything, but he's making statements about those ballots that he doesn't know. But he's making them with he did make them with surety, but now I think he's less sure because the answer is they all went to Biden. And that alone wins us the election by a lot. you know. So,
Mr. President, you have people that submit information, and we have our people that submit information, and then it comes before the court, and the court then has to make a determination. We have to stand by our numbers. We believe our numbers are right.
Well, under law, you're not allowed to give faulty election results, okay? You're not allowed to do that, and that's what you've done. This is a faulty election result. And honestly, this should go very fast. You should meet tomorrow because you have a big election coming up. And because of what you've done to the president, you know, the people of Georgia know that this was a scam. And because of what you've done to the president, a lot of people aren't going out to vote. And a lot of Republicans are going to vote negative because they hate what you did to the president. Okay? They hate it. And they're going to vote. And if you would be respected, if really respected, if this thing could be straightened out before the election. You have a big election coming up on Tuesday.
So there you have it. That is the leaked audio tape of Trump's audio call with the Secretary of State of Georgia. And you can see how that's been played throughout the media. They're already talking about possibly launching an investigation. Now, you and I know. Now, the investigation that they're talking about launching is not an investigation into voter fraud or vote fraud. They're talking about launching an investigation into Donald Trump in that phone call. And what you're seeing happening, in case you're not sure what you're watching, what you're seeing happening is the absolute combined effort across the board to destroy a sitting American president. You and I both know when we watched that election that Tuesday night on November 5th, we watched that election from the moment that they stopped counting, from the moment that they shut down the voting booths, from the moment that they turned away the Republican and the GOP monitors, that's exactly where the election steal started. But they've had 4.5 years to get their ducks in a row. They've had unlimited money from George Soros. You remember we told you about something called the Transition Integrity Project. And so they have been planning for this for quite some time. Satman says that the mainstream media is making Trump look bad. Yeah, that's the whole idea. They're taking everything he's saying and they're twisting it and they're distorting it. You'll notice in that clip that I played for you just now, and I got that from the Washington Post. You heard various gaps. That's where they edited it. Nobody has an unedited tape of the entire phone call. So what they're doing is they're intentionally trying to make the president look really, really, really bad. And public opinion outside of the 73 million people who voted for him, public opinion has gone the other way. And more than half of the Republicans are not going to stand with Trump on January 6th. So I do not see how it's going to be possible that they're going to be successful. I agree that the election was stolen. I agree that George Soros was behind this and the Dominion voting machines and stopping the count and doing all this stuff. I don't have any dispute with any of that. When I was watching the election in real time that Tuesday night, and I watch those states shutting down and stopping the count, I got so mad, I had to turn it off. And I said, they're stealing the election. And this is what they did. This is the perfect crime. They did it in broad daylight. And now they are daring Trump and his team to stop them. And one of the reasons why they're likely going to be successful is because the Republicans don't have any guts. Hal just stated that the GOP are cowards, and I agree with that. Do you remember back when Obama was president? And you remember how weak and useless and ineffective the Republicans were? They couldn't even stop Obamacare. And then for years afterwards, they talked constantly, we're going to change it, we're going to change it, and nobody changed it. Here we are 8 years later, 9 years later, and we still have Obamacare. Republicans don't have any guts. They are cowards. They back down in the face of adversity. And why? People like Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell. They are terrible. Absolutely terrible. Trump is doing the best he can. Would I like to see him successful on January 6th? Absolutely, 100%. I voted for him in 2016, and I voted for him in 2020. But this is an organized coup against the president, the likes of which we've never seen. Well, no, we have seen this. You remember when they assassinated JFK in 1963. That was a coup from the highest levels of the American government, Lyndon Baines Johnson, the CIA, George H.W. Bush, who was working as a director for the CIA, and he was on the ground in Dallas in 1963, the same person who declared that a new world order would be coming in 1991, and they took out JFK. I know people who are related to the police officer that found Lee Harvey Oswald in the movie theater. That police officer, J.D. Tippit. I'm friends with family members of that guy. And they've told me the real story. And that whole thing, everything that happened in Dallas in 1963, the whole thing was a scam. The whole thing was a setup. And that's why Harry Ruby assassinated Lee Harvey Oswald, because the last thing that they wanted Lee Harvey Oswald to do was to tell the truth about what he knew, because the truth was he was a pawn. The truth was Lee Harvey Oswald, he was a pawn exactly the same way that those 19 Muslims on 9/11 were used as cover for the actual people who brought down the Twin Towers. And when you investigate these things long enough and you see repeating patterns and you see conflicting testimonies, and after a while you begin to figure out who is on what side. And I researched it for years, and I am quite confident in my conclusion that JFK was assassinated by the United States government, and complicit in that attempt was George H.W. Bush, who went on to become the vice president for 2 years, and then he became the president, and then his son became the president for 2 years. And this is why we call these people the Bush crime family. Did you know that grandfather Prescott Bush was Adolf Hitler's chief banker in the United States before 1942? Did you know that George H.W. Bush was in the CIA and in Dallas on the ground the day that JFK was killed? Absolutely right. So there's the official narrative, and in this case it was the Warren Report, and it was nothing but a bunch of lies that people didn't even believe when it was published. They did the same thing after 9/11 with the 9/11 Commission report. That was a bunch of lies. And what's happening to Donald Trump right now, that is a bunch of lies. But this is where things have to go. And the reason why they have to go there is because we are headed for the New World Order. It is unstoppable at this point. It can't be reversed. It's not going to be reversed. And what they're going to do is they're going to use everything. They are going to use the Trojan horse of COVID-19 and everything that goes along with that. Again, it's a real virus, but everything else is fake. And They've been telling you about this for decades.
They're the ones you should be arresting, not me.
Why didn't you say that before? What do we got here? Cam, this is William Klein. He was wrecking an office.
But I just wanted to meet them face to face. I wanted them to admit what they were doing.
Who is they?
He was in the office of the Trilateral Commission.
Trilateral Commission?
Yeah, the Trilateral Commission.
All right, what is the Trilateral Commission?
It's an organization founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller to bring together business and political leaders from the United States, Europe, Japan, so they could work together for better economic and political cooperation between their nations.
Yeah, but that's what they'd like us to believe. But you see, what they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries and create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shots.
I take it they're pressing charges?
Yeah, well, he broke a globe and some UNICEF artwork.
Well, they're in on it, too.
Okay, Mr. Klein, if you're just...
I'm telling you, our whole way of life as we know it is in jeopardy.
I appreciate that information.
But I have the documented evidence. It's all in there. Show him.
Well, he's got these magazines here.
Conspiracy Review? Suppressed Truth Roundup?
The whole master plan is exposed.
Yeah, well,
You're still not convinced, huh? Would you like to hear the names of just a few of the people who have been on the Trilateral Commission?
Not particularly.
James Earl Carter. Heard of him?
Look, Mr. Klein...
Henry Kissinger. You heard of him? Walter Mondale.
Who?
Mr. Klein, this is
John Anderson, George Bush. Now, you remember at the convention, everybody thought it was going to be Ford for Veep. You know what happened? David Rockefeller just picked up a phone, put in a call. Hey, Ronnie, forget Jerry, it's George. Bye. So, no matter who won in November, they had their man in the White House.
Are you through?
And all that's real funny until you realize that David Rockefeller and George Soros and Bill Gates Sr. and Anthony Fauci, these people have been thick as thieves for decades now. David Rockefeller said this: "We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. But the world is more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in past centuries." Rockefeller went on to say, "People say that we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I am proud of it." That's the same David Rockefeller that was pictured in that photograph from 2001 with Anthony Fauci and George Soros. That's the same David Rockefeller that was mentioned in that clip from the episode of Barney Miller that I just played for you. These are the same people, and they've been working on this for decades and decades. And now that brings us all the way up to the year 2021. That brings us up to the time when we are watching something that is absolutely unprecedented in human history. We are watching all the world being vaccinated against a virus that has a 99% plus survival rate. And if you don't take this vaccine and you live in New York State and they pass Bill A416, they're going to put you into what sounds an awful lot like a FEMA camp. Bill A416 talks about an undisclosed place of the government's choosing, and they can hold you there for as long as they want to hold you there. You remember the Patriot Act? The Patriot Act that was passed after the World Trade Towers were brought down? One of the provisions of the Patriot Act, aside from endless surveillance of your cell phones and your emails and everything you do and everywhere that you go, stored in places like the Utah Data Center, one of the things, the really scary things about the Patriot Act is they can take anybody who's been accused of being a terrorist. They don't have to have proof. They just have to suspect you. And the Patriot Act says specifically that you can be held for as long as they want to hold you without charges and without access to a lawyer. That's the Patriot Act. Now, why did they pass a bill like that? I want you to think for a moment. Why would they pass a bill that absolutely suspends the constitutional guaranteed rights of every American citizen? That you can be held indefinitely, you can be denied an access to your lawyer, and they don't have to mention what the charges are. All they have to do is suspect you. Now, are you starting to see how the Patriot Act, that's 18 years ago, people have already begun to, they've forgotten about the Patriot Act. Now, there's all types of terrorism. You can be a verbal terrorist. You can be a suicide bomber terrorist. You can be a machine gun terrorist. You can be a machete terrorist, right? And how many examples have we seen of Islamic terrorism where they use all those different types of terrorism to maim and kill and to spread their fear and intimidation? But there's also biological terrorism. Can you imagine living in a society where if you're suspected of having COVID-19 and you refuse to get vaccinated? What if they accuse you of biological terrorism? That's part of the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act says that if you've been accused of terrorism, you can be held indefinitely without charges and denied access to your lawyer. Well, what about biological terrorism? What about people who refuse to take the vaccine like me? And then you get people who come into power who say, your refusal to take the vaccine is putting other people's lives in danger. You are a biological terrorist because you refuse to take the vaccine. That's not even making a big leap, because they're already starting to talk about that right now. Have you spent time on Twitter? Have you seen any of the things that people in the Congress, in the Senate, in the administration, in the media, in local state government? Have you been seeing some of the things that people have been saying? Already, the movement to label people as biological terrorists because they refuse to take the vaccine, that movement is already underway. Now, Juanita just said that George W. Bush implemented the Patriot Act. That's exactly right. George W. Bush did that. George W. Bush's brother, Marvin Bush, he was the person who was in charge of security for the World Trade Center. And my own brother worked at the World Trade Center somewhere around the 83rd floor in Tower 2. And he got out about 6 or 8 months before the towers came down. But he verified that sections of both towers were closed the summer before of 9/11 for elevator maintenance. That's what they said. Elevator maintenance. Listen to this message from the man who was working for the CIA and on the ground in Dallas when JFK was killed.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
George W. Bush's brother was on the board of directors for the company providing security for the World Trade Center, Dulles International Airport, and United Airlines. Isn't that interesting that this company that was providing security for airlines and the Twin Towers, you had George Bush's brother, Marvin, sitting on the board of directors, calling the shots, making sure that the agenda got carried out. You know, one of the things that happened after the World Trade Centers came down? They released the very first implantable human implantable microchip from a company called, the name of the product is called Verichip, and the company today is called Digital Angel. And that was released in 2004. Have you ever wondered why George Bush just sat there during 9/11? And he's being told that the United States is under attack. And he's more concerned about listening to some sixth grade kids recite their reading lesson. And he was so intent of not making those kids nervous that we're supposed to believe that the Secret Service violated all of their known protocols and did not remove the president to safety, even though that is exactly what the protocols say must be done. They didn't do it. How is that even possible? But that's exactly what happened. And did you know that that day in the classroom, the teacher had her students reading from a book called My Pet Goat. As an object lesson in reading, the teacher had them recite a series of words from the book. These are the five words that those children were reciting in unison as the Twin Towers were being attacked. Kite, hit, steal, plane, must. Those are the five words from My Pet Goat that were being read in unison as George Bush just sat there and did nothing. Kite, hit, steal, plane, must. Kite, hit, steal, plane, must. Now, this is where conspiracy theory comes from. This is why people look at what's happening and they do not believe it. They do not believe it, and they should not believe it, because it's not true. It wasn't true in 1963 when they assassinated JFK. It wasn't true in 2001 when they brought the World Trade Centers down. And it is not true in 2021, this whole global scheme to inject you with an untested, unproven, unsafe virus that in the first week alone caused 3,150 adverse reactions. Three or four people have already died of heart attacks. And you have people with Bell's palsy. You have all these different things. Are you willing to risk that to receive this untested, unproven vaccine from which there is a 99% recovery rate? Who knows what that vaccine is going to do inside your body? You know what the M stands for in mRNA? It stands for messenger. The M in mRNA stands for messenger. Messenger 33 vaccine. Now, what sort of messages is that RNA going to keep sending to your DNA over the next 6 months, over the next year, 2 years? In the chat room, somebody is asking if I have any updates. Not really sure what you need an update on, so just let me know, and I'll see if I can catch that. The messenger 33 vaccine that they are pushing right now, that they are trying to say that you are a biological terrorist if you refuse to be vaccinated. Now, it may not be the mark of the beast just yet, but it's coming. And this mRNA vaccines, they are bad. They are not good. They are untested, they are unproven, and they are causing all sorts of problems. Now, on the Moderna website, Moderna talks about their own vaccine as an operating system. Did you know that? If you go to ModernaTX.com, this is what they say. They call it our operating system. Recognizing the broad potential of mRNA vaccine science, we set out to create mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. It is designed so that it can plug and play interchangeably with different programs. In our case, the program or app is our mRNA drug. Guess what the operating system is? You. You are the operating system. And this is something that Moderna talks about right there where everybody can see on their own website. They are telling you that they are putting something inside you that can program your DNA. Is that something that you should be afraid of? That is something that you should be terrified of. So the least of your problems are going to be allergic reactions and Bell's palsy. You have much, much, much worse problems with the mRNA vaccine than adverse reactions. Now, of course, if you die from it, like multiple people have already died of heart attacks from Moderna's drug. And did you know that Moderna is also very proud of their association with Bill and Melinda Gates and the money that they take from those people? Back in 2016, the Gates Foundation gave them $20 million. And they're very, very happy about that. In fact, it is their association with people like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and DARPA, which is the super secret research arm of the Pentagon that does all those creepy, scary things with robots and robot armies and implantable brain chips and all those different things that they're working on with Elon Musk. That's who Moderna is. When I was doing research for a program a couple of weeks ago, and I went to Snopes, and it says there's no connection between Bill Gates and Moderna. And then I found the same bogus story being repeated on USA Today and Reuters and the AP and all sorts of different places. And then I went to Moderna's website, and right there on the page entitled Strategic Collaborators, what do you see? You see the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You see DARPA. These people are highly connected. So this is what they're doing. This is what they're pushing on you. They want to, and look, this gets back to what we told you back in the very beginning. Do you remember when we warned you about the connection between Bill Gates and his vaccine crusade and the connection to the mark of the beast? And everybody got all upset. How can you say that? And now Moderna is telling you that their mRNA vaccine is like an app being put into an operating system. What do you think the mark of the beast is? Excuse me. What do you think the mark of the beast is? It is an injectable app that is going to control buying and selling. That's exactly what the mark of the beast is. It is something that is injected inside your body that controls buying and selling. Now, for years, we have imagined that that could be like a microchip. But guess what? Moderna is telling you that they can inject something that is liquid inside you. Now, you got to pay attention to this. It doesn't have to be a microchip. Forget the microchip. Moderna is telling you that their liquid vaccine is capable of sending messages and reprogramming your DNA. So they don't even need the microchip now. Now it's going to be in liquid form. Do you see where all this is going? Do you see what they're doing? And this will absolutely 100% guaranteed lead you to the mark of the beast. There is no question about that. Why do you think they spent 8 months making you wear a mask? Now they're going to spend time making you take a vaccine. And then when they're done with that, they're going to make you take the digital immunity passport. And the whole, now I want you to picture this. I want you to picture what would happen if you allowed yourself to be injected with this liquid vaccine that is now capable of reprogramming your DNA. And what else is it capable of? Should it make you nervous that Moderna has already told you that their vaccine is like an app? Only it's a liquid app, and they're going to inject it right into your bloodstream. Well, how long does it stay in there? What does it turn into? What else does it become? You got to be asking these questions. We live in a time where science and technology, if you recall the Tower of Babel, God says that he's going to go down there and confound them because if they weren't stopped, there would be virtually no limit to what they would be able to create. Well, we are living in that time right now where there is literally no limit to what human technology is capable of building. And we did this story last year about the enzyme called luciferase, and it is going to be part of the quantum dot microneedle vaccine delivery system. And I want you to look at that picture that I just put into the chat room. I want you to see those glowing purplish pink X's. X marks the spot. Have you ever watched them spray the chemtrails up in the sky? Now, Chrissy is asking, I'm not sure of the question. Not taking the mark of the beast, not sure of Chrissy's question. But we are not going to be here for the mark of the beast. We will be removed before the time of Jacob's trouble. We will be removed before the time of the great tribulation. But we are so close to that right now that we are watching these things being put into place. And this crusade to vaccinate the entire world, this is the beginning of the mark of the beast. If I was going to get on a train and ride on a train from here to New Jersey, where I'm from, my trip would not begin when I got there. My trip would begin the day that I boarded the train, because the last stop on that train takes me to my destination. But the first stop on my train is where the train stops so that I can get on. That's what we're seeing. That's what this vaccination is. This vaccine, the last stop on this vaccine is going to end in the mark of the beast. That's exactly where it's going to end. Anita is asking, does the beast system mark happen halfway through the tribulation? It would appear that, yes, that's where it begins, Revelation chapter 13. But you have to remember that the Great Tribulation is only one half of the time of Jacob's trouble. The first 3.5 years are going to be a time of false peace and safety. That's what the first 3.5 years are going to be like. The second 3.5 years is what's called the Great Tribulation. And this vaccine, the last stop on the mRNA vaccine train, is the mark of the beast of Revelation chapter 13. So the process has already begun. Little Toenail is asking, if the vax is part of the beast, how much can you take it? I wouldn't take it at all. I would have nothing to do with this vaccine. I've never taken a flu shot. In 2019, 52,000 people died of the flu. I have never taken a flu shot. I will never take a COVID shot. Now, what you're going to have to decide, and you're going to have to do it pretty quick, you're going to have to decide if you're willing to let them inject you with an untested, unproven vaccine that they are, that the people who make it refer to as an app inside an operating system. You have got to decide if that is something, even if it is not the mark of the beast, are you willing to be injected with something that the makers of that substance calls an app inside an operating system? And the answer for me is absolutely no. These new vaccines are not like the older vaccines. They're not like the live virus vaccines or the deactivated virus vaccines. These vaccines are completely and totally different. It's a brand new type of technology. It's a type of technology that is capable of reprogramming your DNA. This is very, very scary stuff. And so I have come to the conclusion, well, I came to this conclusion forever, but I'm not going to let them bully me into taking anything. I'm never going to take the vaccine. I'm never going to take the shot. I'm never going to take a flu shot. You know how much garbage and junk propylene glycol, antifreeze from your car, thimerosal, mercury, aborted baby parts. You want that stuff in your system? I don't want that stuff in my system. Why do you think all these people are pretending to receive a vaccine? Why do you think that all these world leaders are going on stage and in this ridiculous dog and pony show? Why do you think that they're doing these things? If the vaccine was so important, and if it was so necessary, and if it was so good, you would never need this type of marketing campaign. Why do you think that Coca-Cola spends $200 million per year on advertising something that is the most recognizable brand in world history? They do that because they know what a crappy product it is. They know how bad it is for your system. One can of Coca-Cola has 13 teaspoons of sugar, not to mention fake colors and flavors and sweeteners, phosphoric acid. Why do you think that the vast majority of people who get osteoporosis are women? Because women consume more soda and diet soda than men do. And so what happens when you drink a lot of soda? When you drink a lot of soda, the phosphoric acid leaches calcium from your bones. That's where osteoporosis comes from. Why do you think it's women who get it? Because women drink the diet soda. Coca-Cola is one of the worst liquids on the face of the earth. If you take a warm can of Coca-Cola and you pour it on a painted metal surface and you come back in a day or two, that paint is going to be peeling off. Coca-Cola is terrible for you. But why do the people who manufacture Coca-Cola, why do they spend $200 billion to market it? Because it's bad for you. And they don't want you to think of Coca-Cola in any other way but a warm, fuzzy, happy light with the dancing polar bears and all that stuff. And it is a plan of deception. And that's why Coca-Cola spends $200 million on advertising. And that's why you're seeing these fake injections with Mike Pence and Netanyahu and Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris and all these other people, Anthony Fauci. We did a story a couple of days ago, last week, Anthony Fauci. He appeared to get vaccinated on live television, and the video shows him getting vaccinated in his left arm. And then the next day, he's being interviewed, and he's being asked if he has any discomfort from the injection site. Now, the video shows him clearly getting vaccinated in his left arm. But the next morning, when he was on TV, as the video played on a separate screen behind him, he says, "No, my arm is sore, but outside of that, everything is okay." But he reaches over and he taps the wrong arm. How could you think that you had the wrong arm? Wouldn't your arm be throbbing? Wouldn't your arm be sore? This is why I call it COVID theater. This is exactly what you're seeing. This is COVID theater. So, my message to you in 2021, as we come to a close on today's program, my message to you in 2021, you better be ready, you better be wide awake, and you better be alert. If you live in a Democrat-run big city, you've got to get out. But before you get out, share the gospel of the grace of God. Remember, we get out of here on flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines, and that flight's going to be taking off sooner rather than later. So we get out of here, but before we go, it's not about self-preservation. It's not about self-protection. It's about getting something done for the Lord before we are removed. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. The Apostle Paul, when he was told, "Do not go to Jerusalem," he said, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." This is where we are, people. This is going to be the year where they're going to make the vaccine mandatory, one way or the other, whether it's a federal level, peer pressure, economic pressure, work pressure, employment pressure, however they're going to work it out. This is what the plan is. And if you're a missionary, you won't be able to fly to a foreign country. You won't be able to come back from the mission field without the vaccine. You better be wide awake and alert. Now, in closing, let me just say that I do not believe that Trump will be successful on January 6th. That's 2 days from today. I believe that Joe Biden is going to be installed as the next president. I believe that this coup is unstoppable. I believe that this is their hour and the power of darkness. And unfortunately, Trump's time is over. Let's meet back here on the podcast on Friday and let's see how good I did with that prediction. A lot of people are telling me that I'm crazy. A lot of people are telling me that there is no way that Trump is not going to be successful. I say he won't be. Let's see what happens. We'll meet back here on Friday and we'll examine what happened on January 6th. In the meantime, January 6th, please join us at night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing Bible Study. Thank you so much for tuning in for this podcast, the very first podcast of 2021. We hope it was a blessing to you. Have a great week, everybody, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night for our Rightly Dividing Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody. Jesus.